Welcome to Sustainababble 118.
118. Welcome yourself, your cheeky little chipmunk, to Sustainababble 118. We are your friendly little environment podcast, all about people and the planet, and why, despite everything being all buggered up to hell, we can still have a chuckle about it every now and then, ain't we all?
We are. Now, this episode is being recorded a fair little while before it's released. Amusingly, the government appears to be in a process of falling down. Donald Trump is about to visit. The Queen seems a bit poorly. England are in a World Cup semi-final.
Yes.
All of these things will resolve one way or the other by the time this episode goes out. So our future selves will have discovered all sorts of magical things.
That's right. We are in a pub. We are in a pub in Clerkenwell, which is in that stinky London. And we're not just here because we like the booze. We are here to learn about a remarkable device. And the device is called a heat pump. Now, before you turn off, have a listen, because it's not just any old heat pump. It is a heat pump connected up, to an underwater river in that London. What do you think about that?
An underwater river?
Yes, an underwater river. Liver river.
A river that's underwater?
Yes.
Not underground?
Underground river. Bugger. Anyway, yes, we're here to talk about heat. Now, we are recording this in the middle of London's infernal heatwave, which, as far as we know, is still going on by the time you listen.
It certainly is at the moment. And yeah. We're in an airless room getting exceptionally heated.
But it may surprise you to know that heat is a problem in general. We don't really have enough heat, what is made, without buggering up the planet. It all comes off of gas. We need to find other ways of doing it. How do we do that then? Well, some brainy people at the climate charity 1010 have come up with a cunning wheeze.
They do that. They're very good at cunning wheezes, 1010, yeah.
And their wheeze is to get heat out of the rivers that flow under London, which, you know, could be applied to lots of other stuff, and to bung it into places that need heat, or indeed to use it in some sort of magic to cool things down.
Yeah, this is another of those episodes where art students try to understand basic science.
And fail.
Yes. But one of the things that we learned as well, and you mentioned it a bit there, is that there are loads of rivers that aren't the Thames under London. These are hidden, covered up, and that's part of the magic of this whole story as well. So this is our chat with Alice Bell, who has been on the Babble before.
Yeah, three times, episode 19, what? 21 and 36.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Long-standing friend of the Babble, Alice Bell.
Wowzers. Okay, well, Alice, as well as a resident in Babble Towers, is director at the climate change charity 1010, which are brilliant at coming up with lovely, positive solutions and, crucially, getting people involved in those solutions to climate change.
Yep, and we also heard from Louise Waters, what is a massive brain, who is in charge of knowing stuff about heat, which is good.
You can tell you're reading her business card.
I am, yeah, and also Alice is outside banging at the door saying, can I come in and get my bag? No, you can't, Alice. Wait a minute. Right, let's get on with this. We're going to talk to Alice Bell. We're going to talk to Louise Waters. We're going to learn all about this. And then after we've talked to Louise Waters, we shall learn about the actual waters. How about that?
Yeah, very good.
Just the usual disclaimer, we do work for environment charities, but these are very much our own views. So if you've got any beef with anything me or Im say, or with anything that Louise or Alice say, take it up with me or Im, or with them directly, but not with anyone for whom we work. Yes?
Yes, and, you know, I'm sure it'll all be waters under the bridge.
Right.
Crikey Moses, I did not know that.
So hello, Alice.
Hello.
Hello, what are you doing here in our podcast again?
In a pub.
In a pub in Clerkenwell. In a pub that excitingly has a heat pump, which you can go downstairs by the toilets and take photographs of, which I did earlier. There was a load of us standing around a heat pump taking photographs of it. It was quite a special moment.
Let's not delve too deeply into why you're taking photos of people by the toilets, but hang on a minute. Well, let's go back a few steps. We're at an event that's called Lost Rivers. How do you lose a river?
I Well, you build over it. So London used to have all sorts of waterways, and we built stuff on them. And so they kind of pop up every now and again. These things that get romantically get called the Lost Rivers of London run mainly north to south, south to north, into the River Thames. And they're kind of tributaries of the River Thames. They relate to a lot of our built environment. We have memories of them imprinted on our city in street names like the Fleet Street, the River Fleet flows under it, Effra Road, if you're from Brixton, you probably know that. That's the River Effra. Stamford Brook, Stamford Hill.
Stamford Bridge.
Stamford Bridge, yes.
Yeah, all makes sense.
That's why there's a bridge.
No.
And I mean, these days, a lot of them are kind of bits of sewers because they run underwater. There's another place you can see. There's one that Sloane Square Tube Station. Apparently, it goes above the platform. You can kind of see it if you know where to look.
Wow.
River goes over.
Yeah, they kind of goes over. So most of them are underground, but bits of them go over. They kind of interacted with our built environment of this huge, ridiculous metropolis, which at the moment is really, really hot, but is quite often quite hot. And because a lot of them are sewers, they also have quite a lot of warmth down them. Partly because our poo's being hot, but also, I mean, just we flush away a lot of heat. That's one of the ways in which we are really wasteful with heat in the UK or anywhere, is that we just literally flush it down the toilet, down the plug hole. We run a bath.
I was going to say, I mean, a hot shower presumably makes sewers hot, right?
Yeah, or even just when you have the toilet, you flush the toilet, your poo went down there. But even if your poo wasn't that hot, or you just had a little wee and that wasn't that hot, or I don't know, you just flush in for
anyway,
you flush the toilet, the cold water goes in and then it sits there for a day and it moves up to room temperature. So you flush cold water in, and then when you flush it away, it's gone up to room temperature, and all that heat that's come from your environment where you've heated the air and space in your house or your flat has then got, you know, part of that will have moved into the toilet and then flushed down the loo. So what we thought we need to use our heat more efficiently, because we currently expend a lot of fossil fuels in this country just making heat.
And that's what, gas mainly, well, is it? Or is it other stuff?
There's a lot of different things that go into heating space and water in the UK, but it's one of those areas which is heavily reliant on fossil fuels, and that we will need to shift some of our infrastructure in order to decarbonise. So we're getting good at decarbonising electricity. A couple of weekends ago we were 25% solar, woohoo, but that's just the stuff that's on the national grid. A lot of our heating comes from gas, and so on top of us going, yay, we're decarbonising the grid, we also need to decarbonise our heat system, because a lot of that will be gas. So we want to get off gas, we need to think about new ways to heat ourselves. And some of that will be being more efficient. We need to insulate buildings and stop wasting all this heat. But we also need to think about where that heat's coming from. And there's lots of different places we can do that. And one of the things is go mining for it down sewers. Or like,
fantastic.
One of the examples we were talking about today about where this sort of thing is being used already is not far from here in Old Street, Bunhill. Bunhill Energy Centre takes excess heat from the tube and uses it to heat homes and a school.
Just down a pipe? So you bung a pipe into the tube, get the heat, bung it into a house, effectively?
I mean, kind of, yeah. I think it's a ground source heat pump, but yeah, we could describe it like that. Yeah, but these ones are, the technology is different. It's a ground source heat pump and a water source heat pump. The ones we're talking about today would be like dropping things that work in water. And one of the nice things about water source heat pumps is that the water itself doesn't need to be really hot. You don't need to be like 50 degrees Celsius water before you can then use that to heat a home. It could just be, you can take a few degrees out of the water and use those degrees, you can transform them to heat a home or to heat a swimming pool or whatever you want to heat.
So your organisation, 1010, tries to get people involved in all of this stuff, right? And I was just wondering, you know, with something like solar panels, you can point at it. You can say, look, there you go, solar panel on your housing estate, on your home, whatever. How do you get people excited about stuff which is under the ground or under a pavement or just completely out of sight?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we decided to have this report around the idea of lost rivers, because people could have a sense of where they are, and they have a sense of where they are because they know where the River Effra might be, because they know Effra Road. So if we're talking about possibly making Brockwell Lido heated using this technology, they have a sense of where that might come from because of their local histories and their awareness of their space. So that's sort of one reason for it. It's also that we could look at places like Brockwell Lido. And it might be that Brockwell Lido doesn't want to get warmth because there's a load of people who really like swimming in it and it's really, really cold.
I've met a few of them. I don't trust them.
But if they did want to heat, this is an option for them. And I mean, there are, I think swimming pools are a really nice idea. I mean, maybe not Brockwell Lido, but there could be other swimming pools or Lidos that we might work with either in London or elsewhere using heat from different places. So it could also be that we work with communities wanting to heat a Lido using ground source heat pumps in a park, or there's a swimming pool in Paris that is heated using excess heat from data centres. So there's lots of different places that we could get heat, and I think if we work with spaces that people care about. We did a big project on solar, called Solar Schools, which is kind of what it sounds like, which is getting communities excited about solar panels by collectively buying them for their school and caring about their school and coming together because they love their school and they want it to go solar. We could do similar things like that. We could heat a school using heat pumps. One of our examples in our report is Acland Burley School in North London, which is already a solar school. So actually the electricity that is required to run the heat pumps could come from their own solar panels, and it could be 100% renewable.
Oh, that's like the future.
It is, and it would be a lovely state school in London being the future, because why does it happen? So one of our other examples is Buckingham Palace, and it would be really awesome if Buckingham Palace uses technology, but I also really want like a state school from North London that one of my colleagues went to be like at the forefront of this kind of innovation, because they should be. And so we could work, build projects, if we can develop this, which we're interested in doing, that would be taking spaces that communities really care about, and they could come with us on the journey of moving to renewable heat. One of the reasons why we're interested in heat is that we know that in order to do heat in a way that's not going to hurt the climate in a sustainable way, we're going to need to do quite a lot of transformation, and that's going to disturb people's lives because it's going to disturb their buildings that they live in and work in. And so I think we need to work with those communities in order to involve them in how we do it, so they can have decisions about like where the heat pump's going to be, how much of their energy is going to come from it, whether they want to invest also in energy efficiency, how are they going to pay for it, who's going to pay for it, who's going to own the heat, who's going to own the technology, where's the money saving going to go, are they going to put the money up front and then recoup those benefits, or is someone else going to do it and then they'll just have cheaper energy bills or something. They need to be involved in those conversations, and that's something that as we develop these projects we'd like to see happen.
This is a local shop for local people. There's nothing for you here.
Okay, well, my name's Louise Waters. I work for a company called Scene. I personally am really interested in heat. I see solving the problem of sustainable heat is way bigger than solving the problem of sustainable electricity. So I'm excited to be working in the sector and hopefully, providing some solutions. There's going to be lots of solutions needed, but this is just one of them.
Right, so we have been hearing from Alice about heat pumps, right? Now, if this was a visual format, you could draw a picture for our listeners, but you can't. So explain what the hell a heat pump is in a way, without using pictures. You can hold your fingers in the air and that sort of thing if you like, and in a way that I will understand, which I warn you, has to be spectacularly straightforward.
Okay, sure. So much as a fridge moves heat from a cold place, which is the box that is inside where you put your milk, into a warm place, which is your kitchen, a heat pump's doing the same, taking heat from a cold thing, which might be a river, or it might be the air outside, or it might be the ground, or it might be the fluid going through a sewer. It moves heat out of that into wherever you want it to be. So that might be the central heating system in your home, so your radiators get hot, or it might be an industrial process, so I don't know, the milk you're pasteurising gets warm, something like that. And it does that by playing with some of the properties of fluids, that when you compress them, they get hot, and when you expand them, they get cold. So when you squirt an aerosol can, one of the reasons it gets cold is because it's going from a high pressure to a low pressure. And so a heat pump is using that. It's got different pressures in different parts of it to move heat from one place to another.
So I think for a long time my little brain assumed that heat pumps worked by going into something hot and taking the heat out of that. But that's not what you said. You said it can go from into something cold.
Yeah.
So my brain.
It appears to defy the, maybe not the laws of physics, but the laws of common sense.
Yeah.
Like sucking heat out of a colder thing and moving it into a hotter thing.
This is magic. This is wizardry. Yes. This doesn't make any sense at all.
So as an engineer, I hear the word magic and I freak out because it isn't magic. It can be explained, but not very easily in words. Not very easily in a diagram, but it's real. It's true.
Should we go and have a look at one?
Sure.
Oh, is it hot? It's heat that does it.
Oh, now we're going down into some strange kind of basement thing where someone's going to... Oh, well! Oh! Hey, look, it doesn't look like what I expected at all. This is great.
So we're in a cellar? Basement?
It's an underneath.
It's extraordinary, a very beautiful building with a sort of fresco in a dome at one end, a kind of gold leaf roof. It's a bit like being inside a tasteful version of Donald Trump's lift.
Or bottom.
Or no. But more interestingly than all of that, we're staring at a big hole in the ground with some pipes in it. Louise, what's going on?
Well, this is the heat pump that's providing heating and cooling to this pub. They need cooling to keep the beer and the wine cold. They need heating for people to have showers in winter to keep the rooms warm. And this amazing bit of technology can do both at the same time. They have an old well underneath the building, so they can suck heat out of the well, of the water that's in the well.
So this thing is going into the water, and we can't see the water here, but that's attached to the water underneath, is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I've not been down there myself or seen any drawings.
Oh, it's like science fiction. It's amazing. It's like a big suntan bed thing, but with all its mechanics out. That's what it looks like.
Step up to red alert.
Sir, are you absolutely sure? It does mean changing the bulb.
The well is constantly receiving some heat from the ground around it, so if you take some heat out, more heat flows back in. And so that heat is, it's like moving from one place to the other. It's moving from the ground into the well, into this system, and then into the hot water tank or into the rooms. At the same time, some of that water that you extract from the well gets cold, and it can freeze, and you can use that coolth, like the opposite of warmth.
Coolth?
Coolth.
Is that a thing?
Is that really a word?
Yeah, you can spell it. It's COOLTH.
Amazing.
Wow, that's another word. Add that to the list of words I can't say.
Yeah, spell them coolth.
Coolth.
So you can chill the beer with that.
Wow. We haven't had any beer yet, huh?
I have.
Oh. Why haven't I had any beer yet?
I don't know.
And they're not super cheap. I'm struggling to give you an exact number because it really depends on the size of the thing. They save money overall. So,
okay.
And often there are grants available for homeowners that might want to install one. Depends which part of the country you're in. So it can be an economically good investment because you get some government money called the Renewable Heat Incentive. They pay you for every unit of heat that you generate. So if you're comparing your heat pump, which is bringing you money from the government and saving you money in terms of what you used to spend on your electricity or your gas, even if it was a big upfront cost, it can pay itself back in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, something like that.
Cool. And presumably they're going to get cheaper and are getting cheaper all the time. And that's how all these new technologies work, isn't it? The first ones are expensive. We learn about them, make them cheaper, make more of them. Is that happening?
I believe so. The numbers sold in the UK every year at the moment are still relatively small. Despite this incentive, the technology is just not very well known about yet. And so we can expect them to get cheaper in the future. I mean, the technology isn't new. It's like we've explained previously, it's like a fridge in reverse. So it's not like there's a massive learning curve to get the technology more efficient or anything like that. But economies of scale definitely will have an impact.
Thank you.
So what else is there then? So not everybody can have one of these things put in their house because they're quite big and you might not be able to do it or not have the money. What other ways can you heat your house without ruining the planet?
So biomass is a way that some people can heat their homes.
Biomass is what? Wood?
I would, if you chop it up nice and small, you can put it into a system that burns it much like we burn gas in the more common boilers. So if you happen to live in somewhere that's rural and you've got lots of space, you know, maybe you even own your own forest or something like that.
I think this is where you're going.
Oh, yes.
I hesitate to say that that's the solution because the amount of energy needed is so large. And if you start to convert too much of the surface of this planet over to growing wood for people to burn to heat their homes, you start to have serious ecological impact. So it's one of the many technologies that will be needed sort of in concert all together to solve this problem. So you quite often see graphs of what the mix of technologies that will be required in the future is. And there's lots of different coloured stripes because each one might be producing 5% of our demand or 15%. Each one's providing a little bit and it looks like a rainbow all on top of each other.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is a thing that actually is quite important to understand, right? That we're not just going to replace getting all of our heat from gas, which is how we currently do it now, with getting all of our heat from heat pumps. It's going to be a mixture of things, which is fiddly. We sort of learned about this a bit in our last episode about solar, which is kind of similar, what we're going to do with electricity.
Yeah, probably that's right. We'll just need a mix, and solar's another resource. Having tubes on your roof is a way of heating the water that you'd use in your shower and your washing machine and things. That makes sense if you've got a roof that's facing south. If you don't have a roof that's facing south, it doesn't work so well for you. So there's lots of little things. We'll probably rely on some new inventions as well. Meeting the challenge with what we currently have is pretty tough. Hopefully we'll develop some new solutions that will help as well. But I can't say this without stating the need for better insulation. So we can heat our homes with much less energy if we can make them less leaky. If we can conserve energy, then the whole challenge becomes that much easier.
So politicians often get in a lot of trouble when they say things like, just wear an extra jumper in the winter. And I know why they get in trouble, because like, if you're fuel poor and some rich politician is saying, oh, just put an extra jumper on, that's a bit of a difficult message to deal with. But I sort of get what they mean. Like, why aren't people just happy to have the heating down a bit and put some more jumpers on? You may not feel that's a yeah. question you can answer, but is that actually part of the solution as well? People just getting used to
being cold.
Being a bit colder, because, you know, you don't need houses heated to 22 degrees, do you?
Well, some people do. If you're
damn.
If you're not as mobile as, you know, the average person, if you're sitting in a chair for long periods,
you're such an arsehole.
Arsehole or arsehole?
Both.
Right.
There are arguments in my household about just how cold we let it get, because, you know, my partner and I are eco nuts, and I think that 16 degrees is a sensible temperature for a house to
totally
be.
Agree.
And I put on lots of jumpers and we have a thick duvet and that's how we live. But that's how we've chosen to live. And we're physically active people. You know, we're not sitting around in the house for hours every evening. We're out doing things. So that fits with our lifestyle. For some people, they need it to be a bit more comfortable if you're ill, if you're old.
Yeah, totally.
There's smarter things.
I'm not advocating like freezing ill old people.
But, are you sure? Because it did sound like you didn't care a minute ago.
Well, at this stage, I'm not. But yeah, but I mean, it's, the 16 degrees thing is interesting because when we had a baby, my partner and I, all the advice was try to keep the temperature between 16 and 20. And when we had doctors coming around, they said, "Oh, so, you know, you're so nice to come to a house that isn't like heated to 22, 24 degrees, and that's like all of the medical advice is don't heat your houses too much. But anyway, I'm ranting. This isn't a question, this is just me ranting. Sorry.
I think the people in this country have had enough of experts.
I tell you who's got loads of money. Her Madge. Mm-hmm. Right? Assuming she's still with us at the time of broadcasting. We are recording this.
Well, yeah. I mean, we are recording this nearly a week before it goes out. So massive apologies if Her Madge is, you know...
Well, we just won't put this question
less in. Less Madge.
Probably. So if you could assume the Queen is still alive, you want her to put one of these in her house? Yes?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think it would get a lot of publicity. I think it would be... It's a big... One of the... things about this technology was it would require it's probably best done if you're also doing a bit of a refurb. So somebody was also asking questions about the House of Commons and whether we could use similar.
They're doing a bit of a refurb,
exactly.
Yeah.
Could they use the Thames? It's not a very hidden river. It's not lost. But
so it can work like that. It doesn't need to be a river that's kind of sealed underground. Like you can get it from any water source.
Apparently,
can you?
Apparently so. okay. I'm not an expert on this, but yes, apparently we can get it. Apparently there's actually quite a lot of thermal opportunity. I don't know if that's the right phrase. We could use
play
this
the,
stuff down a
thermal opportunity.
Does that sound like does it sound like some kind of jargon, isn't it? I just made it up, so it may not even be jargon.
Have a klaxon anyway.
But there's things that we could, I think, from what people have said to me, and I don't know enough about this to know if they're talking truth or not, is that, yeah, the Thames sounds like one of the more obvious ones, actually, rather than these weird little lost rivers we've been talking about. What this pub does is it goes, right, well, that's some heat, we better use it. Or that's some cold, we better use it. And I was thinking about, like, big posh hotels in Park Lane. They've probably got similar things to this pub, but on a bigger scale. They've got lots of stuff that needs to be heated and cooled.
Mattress covers.
Showers, swimming pools.
Showers, yeah.
Showers and swimming pools probably take a little bit more energy than electrical heat.
Heating a mattress cover.
Yeah.
Electric blanket.
Do you mean an electric blanket?
That's the one. Blanket. Yes.
I'm sure the Queen has an electric blanket, and I really hope that her electric blanket is powered by solar panels when they do their refurb. But yeah, like the Queen could invest in this, and she might be able. You know, make a lot of money off the back of it. Like it's
She needs a bob or two, that one.
She does. Well, she's already making loads of money from offshore wind, so maybe she could invest that in a beautiful high profile heat pump technology to power the heat that warms her swimming pool.
So, Alex, if people have got, like, I don't know, a hidden river in their basement or something, or there's some
for yourself,
some other way in one of their basements, or if there's some other way that people want to get involved, how can they just get involved in this exciting
project?
Well,
I think if they found a river in their back garden and they want to tap it, then I think they should email you. And then you can pass any likely options on to me. If they want to learn more about, we've got a full report with an explanation of how heat pumps work and some stuff about the rivers and some examples of places this stuff has worked and some places we think it could work. You can download that if you go to our website 1010uk.org/lostrivers. So that's 1010uk.org/lostrivers. And you can download that and read that, and you can sign up to get more information from us when we publish things like that there too. We were thinking, if the Queen is well next week, I mean, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that she's not going to her great-grandkids' christening, and I'm a bit, you know, we've all got to be thinking about her health. But if she's well, and we know we've got this, you know, this big infrastructure project of redoing Buckingham Palace, we thought we might write her a nice note saying, please, Queen, we think this is really cool, why don't you do it too? And people could sign that letter with us if they wanted to. And they can maybe also send some get well soon wishes.
Is there anything else I shall do before I pop off? Yes, if you could just sign this letter, Your Majesty, that would be gratefully received.
So, Dave, what did you think of that then?
I liked it.
Brilliant.
I don't understand it, really. I still don't understand how a fridge works, but it all sounds very exciting, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, look, there's going to be all sorts of exciting, challenging things that develop over the years as we work out how to try to not nause up the planet. And this whole fiddle of, like, how do you get radiators to not be using gas to heat up the water is a massive one. And look, it's just really thrilling to see clever people dedicated to doing innovative things like this. So all power to their elbows.
You've said that so many times.
That's what you said to Leo. You said that to Leo back in episode 117. Okay. And you also said it. Well, you shouldn't keep saying it then. Right. We will be back.
Let me re-record that bit.
No, shut up and listen.
Not all power to their elbows then. All enthusiasm to their ankles.
We will not be back next week because we're going off on our Holly Bobs. We should be back in September-ish. You know what we're like. September-ish, something like that. So thank you very much for your babble listening. If you have not yet rolled up your sleeves and plunged them wrist deep into the U-bend of our archive, then do so.
Christ, Dave.
Do so and see what joys you pluck out. Don't look at me like that. I thought it was quite a good metaphor.
Yes. If you would like to fund Dave's filthy mind, you can do so by going to our crowdfunder, which is at www.patreon.com/sustainababble. You know how to do that bit, where you can give us money. Thank you very, very much to the small band of people who do give us money. It is making a huge and material difference.
Thank you, as always, to the legendary Dickie Moore for the music that starts and ends and intertwinkles this podcast, and to the legendary Arthur Stovall for the logo and for the merchandise, which you may or may not have by the time you're listening, what adorns it. You can get in touch with us, tell us what you thought of the show. We are on the Facebook at Sustainababble. We're on the Twitter at the Babble Wagon, or email us at hello@sustainababble.fish.
Right. I'm hot. I would like to go and be cooler.
We shall do that.
Let's do that.
Okay, see you after the summer, Babble Army. We love you very much.
Bye!
Bye!
I liked my physics teacher, but
no,
I don't remember any of the lessons or the teachings.
So we can get into this in terms of like electrons bouncing up and down, and they kind of stay still when they're a solid, and then they move a little bit more when they're a liquid, and then they get really excited and start running away from each other when they're a gas.
Yeah.
And that takes more energy, because it takes more energy to get excited and run away from each other.
Yeah, okay.
And that's kind of how heat pumps work. You just get electrons
and Brexit.
Exciting. and Brexit?
Running away from each other.
All right, I'm ready. Is that an endothermic or what's the opposite? Exothermic.